My name is Peter Murray, and I am the Assistant Director for New Service Development for OhioLINK, and I'm here to talk a little bit about the Board of Regents' plans for affordable textbook development deployment. As you probably know, last year in March, the Chancellor released this strategic plan for higher education, and one of the components of this plan was to look at affordability. Affordability was a key component of this, and one of the things that is the cost drivers for colleges now is the cost of textbooks and course learning materials. In April of last year, the Chancellor convened a textbook affordability summit that brought together faculty, administrators, publishers, bookstore representatives to talk about this issue of affordable textbooks. In case this is new to you, this particular problem, this is a graph from a Government Accountability Office report from 2005 that shows this bottom dashed line. I'm sorry, this line is the rate of rise of tuition and fees. This solid line is the cost of textbooks. It's not unusual now for an undergrad to pay as much as $700 to $900 a term just for the textbooks. These cost drivers are making college increasingly unaffordable, but not because of the tuition and fees, but because of the cost of the materials that go along with it. And in fact, some students are going without the textbooks or finding other ways to get to that material and decreasing the outcomes, decreasing the success of those students. So this is of concern to the Board of Regents staff. The problem of textbook costs is driven by this life cycle, which also came from the 2005 GAO report. In their study, they found that publishers and instructors get together to develop a textbook. In some cases, it might cost up to $1 million to develop a textbook, to do the editing, to do the ancillary resource development, to do the marketing, and then the direct solicitation to other faculty to adopt it, the publishing, the printing, and so forth, up to $1 million to get it to the point where it's at the bookstore. Students then come in and pay for the textbook. If it's the first time the textbook is offered, they have no choice but to pay for the new cost of a textbook, $100, $150, $170 in the case of some of the sciences. The students then use it, and then they have an option. They can either keep the book and get no money back on the resale market, or they can go through a bookstore buyback and get anywhere from 5% to 35% of the cost of the textbook back as cash to them. These books go back to a wholesaler, or the bookstore keeps them, and they become part of the distribution chain for the next year. So with this used textbook market, the ecosystem has become so efficient that the publishers in the development side of this need to increase the cost of their textbooks to recover that $1 million or whatever it costs to develop, or come out with new editions more frequently to discourage or cut down on the used textbook market. But for everything that the publisher does, the used textbook market gets more and more efficient. Just here at the Ohio State campus, 2 weeks ago, was the first of a kind that I've seen, a drive-through buyback tent on the grounds of an old gas station. This operation put up a tent for a week where you could literally drive through, hand them your books, they would scan them, determine what the value of those books back, and either give you cash back or give you the books back if they weren't worth anything. And I would note that there's also a billboard sign here for another textbook buyback service. this textbook buyback service is competing with this one. And so the marketplace is getting more and more efficient in terms of how these used textbooks come around the system. And the cycle is getting more and more vicious. Higher prices for that first sale, more editions coming out sooner and sooner. And ultimately, the students are losing because they are not, they're perhaps doing without the materials that they need to do with. Is this news to anyone? Is this generally known? Because part of what we're looking at the Board of Regents is educating an education program for faculty about what the textbook market is. I'm a relative youngster in the room, now 20 years out of higher education, and I don't remember the textbook market being quite so devious or efficient, I guess, if you're into the economics. And so the marketplace of the textbooks has really changed, and it's really opened up the opportunity for the topic that we're here to talk about in this session, which is the kind of open access resources that are of no cost or are of low cost to the student and to the faculty member, and how that might improve adoption of course materials and then ultimately improve the success of the student in their course. So I have, over the course of the next few slides, some principles that we're looking at as we at the Board of Regents and at OhioLINK look at strategies for breaking this cycle. Some principles that are underlying what we're doing, and then some strategies that we're putting in place. And then ultimately some things that you can do in your campus, in your courses, to break this cycle and improve the student outcomes. So first, the principles. The first is that we're concerned with being student-centered, that we need to return the locus of importance to the student and their successful outcome. So anything that we do has to be centered around the student success. A second principle is realizing that this is a cultural and a systematic transformation, that this ecosystem, this textbook ecosystem, has been built up over time, and it is embedded into the nature of higher education, not only in the state of Ohio, but also across the United States, and that we need to come up with strategies that break this cycle and are really transformative of how institutions and how departments and how courses adopt and use textbook materials. A third principle is that we can do no harm, if you will, that the quality of the learning outcomes has to be at least equal to what we're getting in the current ecosystem, and really hopefully better. And hopefully better because we know that there are students that we survey that are not purchasing the materials, that are sharing them with other students or are borrowing them from the library, from OhioLINK, and are not don't have ready access to that. So improve the quality of the learning outcomes by increasing access to the materials. Another principle is that of academic freedom, that it is important for the instructor to pick the materials that are right for their topic, for their course, for their teaching style, for the learning styles of the needs of the students within them, within their courses. Another principle recognizes the fact that bookstores are part of our institutions, and in many cases, the revenue gained from textbooks are part of the operational funding of the institution itself. And so some recognition that as we break this cycle, that there's a role for bookstores and some kind of readjusting of the revenue share associated with that. And finally, an important principle is that of accessibility, that there are students with different learning styles, that there are students with different needs in terms of how they receive their course materials. And much like how curb cuts helped not only those in wheelchairs, but also helped those with strollers and with children in wagons, in my case, and so forth, that accessibility means that it's not only beneficial to those students identified with disabilities, but it's accessible in different modes. It's accessible either by reading on the screen or by printing on paper or by audio reading to you or different kinds of summaries associated with it. So with those principles in mind, we're looking at four strategies at least the Board of Regents level of how to help institutions adopt different kinds of educational resources, either be them textbooks in different models or open educational resources or what have you. First strategy is to heighten the awareness of textbook costs. That's part of my role here today, was to bring this news to you, if this is news, to say that there are students who are going without their educational resources because they can't afford to pay for them, or are not even coming to college because of the cost of those educational resources is preventing them from coming to college. So that's the first strategy. The second strategy is to adopt open educational resources. I have in some later slides some descriptions of some programs at the Board of Regents level where there are opportunities for faculty to get over the hump, if you will, that initial cost of creating or of adopting open educational resources inside your classroom. The third strategy is with volume pricing discounts. How can we aggregate the demand in the state of Ohio for textbooks and go to publishers and say, we're going to adopt a certain level, we want a volume discount that represents the value that we have as a state, that our aggregated buying power to you, and return that savings on to the students to lower the cost of existing textbook materials. And finally, to recognize that there is commercial content out there of value, but right now it tends to get bundled in this huge thing that we call a textbook. And it's not only the 900-page textbook, but it's also the website with the ancillary videos and self-assessments and so forth, and work with publishers to unbundle this content and give it to us in a modular way so that we can adopt the pieces that make sense for us in our classes at a cost that reflects the true cost of those resources and not the entire aggregated whole. So those are the strategies that we're seeking to employ. And now, in my final minutes, I have some action items for you, if you will take them to heart. First of all, is to look at what we're doing with at OhioLINK and the Board of Regents with a service called CourseSmart. The publishers got together and created a digital form of their materials that they call CourseSmart, CourseSmart.com. And it is a page-for-page replication of what you get in the paper textbook. So a page in your paper version is a page in your online version as well. The publishers are right now pricing this at approximately 50 to 55% of the new list price. And the Board of Regents and OhioLINK have negotiated a further discount that brings that down by another 10% off the list price simply by going through this portal, textbooks.uso.edu. So simply by pointing your students to textbooks.uso.edu and searching for the textbooks through there, there's a 50% and then a 10% negotiated discount on top of that. What we're finding, though, is that in the ecosystem of textbooks, that is still more expensive than the student who buys the used textbook and then sells it back to the bookstore for some money back. Now, realize that that's the best case scenario. The student has bought it used and it's still of value. It's going to be used in the next term. So the bookstore wants to buy it back. And so they will actually give money back to the student for it. But, you know, one out of three times, that isn't going to be the case. Either there's a new edition comes out that you as faculty members have said, I want to use this new edition, or there is not the demand for that course, or there's an oversupply of that textbook, and the bookstore isn't going to want it back. So we realize that this isn't the lowest cost that somebody can get ultimately when you consider buying used and then selling it back. So right now we're going to start a trial where we're seeking particular courses, particular sections, particular instructors to work with the Board of Regents and OhioLINK to reduce that price even further to about 65% off the new list price. And that is the point that we think that students will really start to gravitate towards this, because as they look at it from a pure cost standpoint, it is going to be the lowest cost option to get a commercially published textbook. So if this is something of interest to you, contact either Steve Acker, acker.1@osu.edu, or myself, and we'll get you into the cycle to plan for this for the fall.
So these are PDFs that the students pay to download off the site?
No, these are, there's still some digital rights management associated with this. So they either read it online, or they can download it and run it on a special application on their laptop or their desktop. It's not open PDFs that they can download and run into any Acrobat reader. Yes?
The CourseMark pages also are watermarked with the person who bought them, so they print them and then share them with somebody else.
They know where that came from. And the CourseMark site, if you're reading it online, has limits on the number of pages you can print simultaneously. It's like 5 or 10 pages simultaneously. So if you want to print the whole book, you've got a lot of work ahead of you. And on the textbooks.uso.edu site, we realize that these kinds of digital materials aren't the best for everybody's learning styles. And so we have a page that says, are electronic textbooks right for you? So that the student knows what they're getting into if they choose this mode of getting the course materials. Yes?
Just out of curiosity, because it takes about $1 million to produce a textbook, historically, what's been the publisher's gross margin?
Off the top of my head, it's in the 30 to 40% range.
Is that gross or net?
That is gross. The bookstores, I don't have the graphic here, but there's also a graphic in that GAO report that breaks down the dollars spent per textbook, how much of it goes to the bookstore, how much of it goes to the publisher, how much of it is royalties, and so forth. And so I don't have the exact numbers in my head, but it is in that report. But it is much like an area that I am familiar with, electronic journal publishing, or just journal publishing in general, the publisher margins are obscenely high, if you will.
Healthy,
I suppose, is another way to put it. So another way that you as faculty members can break this cycle is to look at the use of open educational resources. There are several sites that you can go to find these, but one of the activities that we're looking at the Board of Regents level is to create an inventory of these resources and work with the TAG communities to align them to the articulation and transfer agreement standards, so that if you're teaching a TAG course and you want to know about materials, you'll have one place to go where these have been aligned. Another way that you can get, and this is that inventory and that alignment is something that is under consideration. We need to put some resources behind it to actually do it, but it obviously makes sense to do this. We hope to have the resources to do it soon. Something that you can do right now is to look at the Faculty Innovator Awards to apply these resources to courses. There was a round completed in February of this year, for the school year that's coming up now, where instructors received awards to apply these resources to the courses that they're teaching, and look for a next round of this to come in the fall. watch this website, or if you'd like, get in touch with me, and I'll be sure that when that announcement gets put out, that you'll hear about it. The third component is textbook affordability grants, and these are looking at the gaps. If we do an inventory of the open educational resources, we expect to find gaps where the resources haven't been developed. So these are even larger grant awards to actually develop these resources. We're looking to target high enrollment courses, again, the tag type courses, and again, watch the same URL or get in touch with me, and I'll be sure to put you on a list to receive more information about this as the program progresses.
I don't understand. What is the grant for?
There are two types of grants. There's the faculty innovation grants, which apply existing open educational resources to existing courses, and then these textbook affordability grants, which are creating new open educational resources for things that don't exist but are important to the state of Ohio and high enrollment courses. I promised a slide at the end that had not only my contact information, but a way to get to these slides. I have stepped over my time ever so slightly, so with your permission, I'll turn it over to the third presenter, and we'll come back to questions at the end.